It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh. Thanks, Rob. It's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment where we talk to small business owners about their story and their approach. My guest tonight's one of the big names in one of Chicago's iconic industries, chocolate. Katrina Markoff is a CEO and founder of Vosges Chocolate, the company that features exotic truffles and other chocolate candies. With two stores in Chicago, one in New York, and three at O'Hare, Vosges has taken its purple box from local specialty to international appeal. How did Katrina do it? Well, through world travel, trial and error, and truffles. She started by taking her culinary experiences and making chocolate in her apartment back in 1998. Now she's CEO of over 85 employees, and her annual revenue is up over $30 million. Not bad for a local company that is a year shy of celebrating 20 years in this business. The chocolatier was named one of the top 10 chocolatiers in the world by National Geographic magazine and just recently added a new brand to her empire called Wild Ophelia. Katrina Markoff, my guest tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. Katrina, thanks for being here. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. This is awesome. An honor.
Okay, so let's talk about this because I say that you started in 1998 in your apartment, but chocolate wasn't a first love. This wasn't. You weren't necessarily, as a child, being like, yum, 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 I just really want to make this.
No. I actually didn't like chocolate as a kid because I didn't have access to good chocolate. I mean, it all tasted like sour milk to me, everything I ate. And it wasn't until after culinary school, which was in Paris, that I fell in love with chocolate because I had this amazing chocolate experience in the Place de Vosges in Paris where they took ganache, which is the center of a truffle, froze it, dipped it in beignet batter, like a donut-y batter, and fried it. And then the process of frying it, the frozen ganache melted into this hot liquid, and when you took a bite, it was like this explosion of chocolate that was warm around this great donut. Wow. So that was the impetus for the name Vosges because it happened in the Place de Vosges.
Were you thinking at that point? You're like, why this? I'm looking for business opportunities. I mean, because if you're in culinary school, I'm thinking pastry chef. I'm thinking other areas. But deciding to open up your own business, not necessarily where you would automatically go.
You know, I was thinking my true love was cooking and I communicated really through food. But I realized in going to culinary schools and starting to work in all these different restaurants that I was a very non-linear thinker and I was quite messy in the kitchen. So it wasn't my, I wasn't that great in the kitchen. Also, I felt like there was a lot of difficulties being a woman in a kitchen that I didn't really want to deal with. And I got back, you know, from my travels around the world and was like telling my mom, I really don't want to be a chef. And she's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know yet, but it's coming. I just trust that it's coming.
Did you have business experience? I mean, were you thinking about being an entrepreneur?
You know what? I had a cake business in high school, and I ran our garage sale, like, lemonade stand when I was 6 and 7. So, and my mom was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was. My father was. So I saw a lot of that. My mom was an amazing big thinking dreamer, manifester in a very different industry than food. She did like janitorial supplies and remediation. And I think I was really inspired by seeing her like make stuff happen because she kind of willed it to be. And she believed in impossible until it became real. And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you can do that. You know, but I just had that spirit, I think, from growing up.
Well, one of the things that has always had Vosges stand apart from the competition has been just the combination of flavors.
Yeah.
And that has been something that I've known as a Chicagoan and being able to buy the purple boxes. I mean, so many different spices and very exotic and very unique combinations. Was that all figured out in your kitchen and in your apartment back in 1998?
You know, what happened was I ended up, after culinary school in Paris, I ended up buying a ticket around the world and I went east for 9 months. And while I was traveling, I was so inspired by the cultures, by the architecture, by their different religions, by the different ingredients. And I got back and realizing I didn't want to be a chef, I started to think I might do a cookbook. And then realized that in the marketplace of chocolate, which was a huge gifting item for fourth quarter, there was nothing innovative or high quality or artisan or storytelling.
It was just a standard.
It was just
pieces
like
of chocolate.
Really
right?
Sweet fondant based fruit, no story. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's such an opportunity here to innovate, because there was this big foodie movement happening in the States 20 years ago, which you could see in second wave coffee with Starbucks, or you could see in the wine industry, even cigar aficionado. People were starting to revere these old world sort of beauties, but it hadn't happened in chocolate. And one day I came home from my job trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I had all these ingredients from my travels, and I realized that there was this niche in chocolate that needed to be filled from a gifting perspective. And I went in and I made a curry coconut milk chocolate truffle and decided I'd name it Naga after the Nagaland people. And that was the moment Travel the World Through Chocolate was born, to really use chocolate as a medium for storytelling.
You mentioned that. I mean, you just meant, I picked that up in just your answer, that, you know, the story is important to the business.
Is first. Really, it's like I fall in love with beauty or curiosity or cause, and then I translate it into the recipe. But it always comes first, that there's like this spark of a story I want to tell, or an experience, you know, we want to give. And I think that's probably what makes Vosges so different than other brands, is like it's very, very soulful, but it's also all about the experience. So on the back of every chocolate bar, how to eat a chocolate bar. The first thing we say to do is close your eyes and take 3 deep Ujjayi breaths. You know, and it's amazing how powerful that is. After doing that, tasting something, listening to something, you're just so much more in your body. But, you know, those steps, those sensory steps, how to pair chocolate with cheese, wine, tea, music. We did a collection about the African-American influence on America's musical genres through chocolate. And I love that one because it's storytelling, it's music, it's eating chocolate with the music, it's history.
Well, I mean, and part of the business aspect of this is that, I mean, the chocolate and the product is quality. But the experience of the truffle, the experience, the story, the things around it, the mission of Vosges, that's what helps this company, the Chicago company, stand out.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think that's what separates us from the other people. There's been a lot of people that have come up and done exotic flavors with chocolate and chocolate bars, etc. But it's really the depth of the experience, the detail in the gifting proposition that we have, along with the personal consumption. This is truly a super premium brand with a soul. And I think it's differentiated in that way. We were also the first to do it. So mm-hmm. we had this sort of, you know, leadership role. But now, you know, there's a lot more competition. We even have a second brand ourselves. And, you know, it's a different marketplace. So, you know, innovation is really key for me. That's what drives me. And I think that's what has always driven the brand. It's like, but now I think we have to be even more choiceful about which innovations we're doing.
And I want to ask you about that, because the new brand, and also just about your role as CEO and creator. I mean, coming up with these, trying to stay creative. Let's do this. Let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Vosges CEO Katrina Markoff. She's in studio tonight and downloading Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time.
Katrina Markoff's in studio with me as we continue the download on Chicago Business Tonight, sponsored by Signature Bank. She is the CEO and founder of Vosges Chocolate. We're talking about almost 20 years. It's interesting to think that in your apartment in 1998 is almost 20 years ago. So many accolades over the years, including being named one of the top 10 chocolatiers in the world on National Geographic. That's amazing. And you have grown this company to having $30 million plus in revenue, annual revenue, 85 employees. I have a twofold question. One about competition, because you talked about, you know, how you have to stay innovative because more and more people are getting into the exotic chocolate industry. Let's go back to 1998, 1999, where that wasn't necessarily the case, but your competition was standard, classic, traditional Chicago chocolate companies. This is a chocolate town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great companies that have been here that have established brand identity and loyal followers. How do you enter that market with a specialty product and get on the shelves next to some of these iconic brands?
Well, you know, back 20 years ago, there really wasn't a fresh truffle option. So everything on the shelf had some level of preservative in it that would like make it last for 2 years or a year or whatever it was. And there was this trend happening in the foodie world where people were starting to ask more questions about sourcing.
What's in it, right?
Yeah,
right,
what's
right.
in it? And they were starting to travel outside of just this Francophile or Italian love that we had in America at the time to more exotic destinations, you know, Thailand and Japanese food. And there started to be this more exotic interest. And there wasn't a great quality chocolate bar. So from a personal consumption side, there really was nothing. I mean, it was, you would go to a drugstore or to a convenience store and you'd buy your chocolate bar there. It was, there were very few super high-end specialty retailers, except for the department stores, which would be more focused on gifting boxes. So your Frango mints, you know, your beautiful boxes, which is very iconically Chicago. But there was no one playing in the exotic space, and there wasn't anyone really catering to a more high-end, artisan, clean deck, clean ingredient deck, no preservatives, no weird colors with numbers and letters, and telling that story strongly. And so when I came out with both the bars and the truffles, it was really positioned that the truffles would be more the couture side of the brand, super high-end, fresh product. You could only get them either directly from us, or we would maybe do a drop ship agreement with Neiman Marcus or some of the higher-end Bergdorf Goodman. And then the chocolate bars was just incredibly disruptive. Like, for example, Whole Foods, they didn't have high-end chocolate bars.
Which is hard
bars.
To believe just, if you go down the aisle
yeah,
now.
Exactly
it's
now
everywhere.
It's
everywhere.
So wide. I know. So it was a niche. It was totally open. And we were a small business that was just organically growing, but the press started to cover us. And we didn't have a lot of money. So it was the media that really helped build the brand in Chicago. You know, Cranes gave me the 40 under 40, like when I was pretty young. So like I got some great recognition, and that really helped spread the word in Chicago and in New York as well. Because
well, in a way, I mean, we talk about this a lot on the show, but I mean, you were a chocolatier disruptor. In the way that there were brands here in Chicago that did it a certain way, and you came in and changed what the expectation was. In doing so, when you think about it, and it's funny because 1998 is right on the precipice of the internet, and the idea that things can change, where I could go to Vogue and I don't necessarily need a brick and mortar, I don't need to order stumble upon your product at Fox and Nobel or other places that specialty stores. Talk about. In the growth period now, we're talking in the last 20 years of how you have seen your business grow. I mean, is the success the product, the story? Is it the brick and mortar? Is it the internet? What is it about Vogue that saw this explosion?
You know, I think all the channels were very explosively growing at, you know, especially in the early years, probably through age 12 or 13, like very significant double digit growth. Then it started to slow. Competition sort of came in again. There was a sort of a bean to bar movement, origin specific, just a lot of cluttering, a lot of local stories. So though we were a national player, you would always see the buyers bringing in a set of local chocolate this. And it just kind of made it very difficult to make decisions for consumers. And a lot of people want to try new things, were attracted to our brand, but then they're also attracted to the next one.
Right.
So we saw some slowness in growth over the last, you know, several years. But now what we're starting to see is there is some consolidation that's happening on the grocery store shelves because it's too confusing for consumers. There's too much choice.
It's too much choice, and I would assume that if you don't have brand identity that you're passed up for a Vogue bar or for others, and you could see that they start to, no pun intended, melt away.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. But go ahead.
No, exactly. So what is happening now is that there's only going to be so many super premium brands in a set. So like we've seen a lot of success around a Kroger, which I never thought we would do well in a Kroger, which is the biggest grocery store chain in the country. But we, because of our brand strength and the press that we've been, you know, garnered over the years with the gifting side of the business, it brings a lot of credibility to the bar side of the business because the gifting represents something super high end and super like luxury. And so the bars are kind of like affordable luxury. And we're really kind of at the top of that for the brands. And so with all the brands that sell their chocolate bars for like $3.99, which is a giant set, that is getting very much so consolidated. Not everybody needs a sea salt and chocolate bar in like four or five, six brands. So I think you're going to have a lot more focus. And the next stage of what's happening in chocolate is really, I think, more disruptive form factors. So there's way too many chocolate bars in the market. It's going to get smaller. But then kind of what's next? So that you saw some upgrade in peanut butter cups and organic. But like what next novelty? And so we're looking a lot into form factors and layered, you know, experiences, texture, something unique. And that'll be new. And I think that'll be kind of the next wave of what we saw in America of candy bars with all the fun names, you know. And
I have to ask you, and listening to you get inspired or to light up as you talk about this, as the CEO, there has to be a balance between the art and the creativity and the innovation that obviously we can hear from your voice you love to do.
Right.
And running a successful business that brings in $30 million annually, how do you balance that? Because that, I would assume that if it gets out of whack, the company gets out of whack.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, one of the hardest things for me is like how to grow with all the people that we need to add. People is the hardest thing, I'll be honest for you. Like, I'm really great in innovation. I'm not the best at like being the best coach or leader. And I just hired a president to really help me with that. Because I really do need to offset my strengths with the team. And it's so important because you can't go from, you know, 30 to 100 with the same kind of entrepreneurial startup stuff that I had. I really need to rely on the team. I can't do it all, and I'm not good at doing it all.
Nor do I want to do it all.
So I think like next, you know, stage two of this brand evolution is really how to put together like killer team that is really going to own their channels, because we're very multi-channel. We have e-commerce, we have the wholesale, we do some private label, we do our own manufacturing, have the retail stores, we have you know, hospitality and gifting. Like, it's pretty complex. It's like a small complex business, like, because it's five businesses in one, essentially.
Well, I mean, to hear that and to think back to 1998 and all the different things that Vosges Chocolate is now. My last question is a question I ask all the entrepreneurs who come in, but why Chicago? What is it about Chicago that is a good base for Vosges? Because you could be anywhere and there's probably better access to some ingredients, especially the ingredients that you use in the high end and the truffles. What is it about Chicago that makes Vosges work?
I mean, you know what? I love Chicago. I never wanted to go to New York, though it would have been like a clear option to go there. I felt like at the time you had these amazing chefs like Charlie Trotter and Paul Kahn, and they were really shaping this amazing foodie scene happening in Chicago. And I really felt like I wanted to be a part of that. And I felt like the Chicago, I don't know, person would be supportive of a new chocolate brand. And so really invested in Chicago, and you know, it's important. And I think you know, there is a lot of pride for our brand, for those that know us.
Yeah.
We still need to get the word out more, but
Well, there definitely is Chicago pride when it comes to Vosges Chocolate. Katrina Markoff is the CEO and founder of Vosges and her new brand Wild Ophelia. She's my guest tonight on the Download on Chicago Business. Katrina, thanks so much for telling us your story and sharing it tonight.
Thank you.